Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Anima Holding 9 months 2021 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Melzi d'Eril, CEO of Anima Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody for attending our 9 month conference call. As usual, I will bring you into our presentation, page 4, the 9 month highlights. First message is I would like to give you that organic growth in Q3 marks the highest quarterly amount since 2016. Both on retail and B2B2C that are showing strong flows and a solid pipeline. Financial results, very solid. Revenues up almost 27%, EBITDA almost 32%, net income 176 million euros plus 71% approximately. Shareholders remuneration, very important. We confirm our strong cash conversion, our capability to generate cash, thanks to a strong top line and our historical operating leverage. This year we will, of course, provide our ordinary dividend with a guidance, confirming our historical guidance, 50% of our consolidated net income. But we are also currently executing a 60 million euros buyback, shares buyback, initiated at the beginning of this month. On top of these results, we think that our company is also provides also a unique access to the Italian asset management client base. We are a very well performing and efficient asset management platform. And therefore, in a financial sector that continues to change, in Italy at least, Anima is a value, and I think that we'll be able to exploit our unique market position. Page 5, as usual, just to give you a snapshot on our business by segment. Retail assets account for 28% of the total. Institutional 72% of the total. Our strategic partners accounts almost 89% of the retail distribution, with BAMI accounting for approximately 55% of the retail assets. Page 6, the AUM evolution. First of all, we turn positive on the retail with the 9 month results, almost 200 million euros of net inflows. As you may remind, we started with difficult months beginning of this year, and then we put ourselves on a growth path since April, and now we have been able to turn positive on the full year result. Institutional 2.2 billion of net inflows, strong market performance of approximately 4 billion. These are data excluding plus one AUM changes. Page 7, I would like to give you some color on flows this year. First of all, I will just remind you that at the beginning of this year, I started saying that the management objective for 2021 was to fix the retail distribution. And this is the direction that we are following, and results are positive, I would say. We are fixing and trying to fully exploit the potential of our retail channels. And I would like also to remind you how our channels works. I mean that retail clients are not only retail channels for us, but also retail clients are underlying also many relationships, for instance, with insurance groups. In fact, if we look at our flows and we look at products bought by retail clients, these are bought through banking channels, financial advisors networks, for instance, but also through our insurance partnerships that we call B2B2C. Always within the retail, I think that we have also to consider that part of the wrap component that we account as institutional, wrap component meaning funds invested by funds of the house, invested by funds of the by other funds of the house. This is a component that, as I was saying, we account as institutional, but it's very important to remind that part of this, a large part of these assets come from retail clients. In fact, these WRAP component are equity funds invested by target date funds for in order to be more efficient when we invest with funds for funds components. And often, funds of the house are underlying of unit-linked policies managed by the group. Page 8. Always on flows. We wanted to, I wanted to show you and to remind you how our retail flows were in the last 4 years. We had difficult times and periods. Q3 is the highest amount of the past 5 years, and I think this is a very important message. And if we look at the last two quarters, this is the right direction that I was mentioning at the beginning. The weaknesses of flows in the second half of 2020, as I said more than once, were mainly linked to the lockdown, to the uncertainties related to the pandemic. Money, as we all know, kept piling up on deposits. And given that we are not a bank and we are not an asset gatherer, I mean, these flows were out of Anima scope. Today that we are able and the clients are getting back to asset management products, we are seeing results also in our flows. On top of that, we have other components in terms of assets and are all well performing this year and also in the past. The wrap component, we already talked about that, but also B2B2C, where the large part of these assets are unit-linked and white labor and advisor products. And then the pure institutional, where we are getting important results in terms of new mandates. And we are trying to explore and to exploit as much as possible a new business line that are corporate and treasury finance market, where the zeroing of interest rates is providing more opportunities because managing these assets is more difficult for the company. Page 9. Again, on flows, I wanted to show you also where we are raising money. These are on the right side of the page. We have a chart with the top 10 funds, Anima funds, in terms of net new money in the first 9 months of this year. Year to date, the large part of the assets were raised on balance funds, mainly target date, with a growing equity exposure. The target date funds, the new target date funds launched, just to remind you that are always launched with performance fees and, of course, with new high watermark. And so they are basically starting every time like having a reset of an overnight watermark mechanism. In terms of our commercial results, as I was saying, we raised one of the categories of products where we raised more money were the Esalogo. Esalogo are Article 8 products that we launched in early 2020, April 2020. And the strategy reached already 2.7 billion of asset raised. So we are happy, very happy of that. We also rated all our funds, remaining funds, according to the PRI guidelines and principles. we are enlarging the categories of Hesaloco funds, Article 8 funds, and we will continue to push in this respect. Another category of funds very important for us, where we pushed a lot in the last couple of years, and because we believe these are products absolutely perfect in order to face uncertainties of the future for our client base, are the PAC. PAC means Piani di Accumulo, so accumulation plan. Automatic plans that where people is bringing money to the fund every month. So the benefit for the client is not to look at the market timing, but entering into the funds with smoothly during time and with less volatility and with more probability to get a positive return in the medium time period. This year, we activated more than 60,000 new PAC, plus 10%. This is very important for us because it's a recurring business and is very important for our client because it's the suitable product solution to invest in uncertain market conditions. Moreover, considering the zero interest rate scenario for a client base very conservative like ours. Page 11, performances. We are performing very well. We on the left side of the page, we try to summarize the as always our performance compared to the Italian asset management industry. We are outperforming the industry, and we are doing very well in many of our product categories. These product categories are very much skewed towards flexible and balanced funds, more than what the system is doing. And we will continue to push in this respect because, as I was mentioning before, our client base is a client base that need an appropriate level of risk. Appropriate meaning not too much. Page 13, looking at numbers that are quite interesting in this first 9 months. We, as I said at the beginning, we reached our highest historical level, plus 11% on net revenues if compared to last year, plus 27% on total revenues if compared to last year, of course, with a strong contribution coming from performance fees. More than 90 million euros on the 9 months, plus 32% on the EBITDA at the EBITDA level. We reached 272, almost 73 million euros on the 9 months. Net income plus 71%, 176 million euros. Adjusted net income very similar to the net income to the reported net income. Then I explain you why, plus 33%, 179, almost 180 million euros. Looking at the right side of the page at margins, the average margins is increasing. This is a good news for us. We will get back to it later on, but this is an important message because, as we said more than once, in the last 2 years we suffered because of the market conditions and market downturns. Now we are seeing an increase in margins coming both from retail and institutional. Retail margin in Q3 was 27.3 basis points, just to give you an idea. Cost income, always strongly and strictly under control. If you look at cost income, excluding performance fees, we remain stable in spite of a very high level of performance fees, meaning higher accrual for variable compensations. Finally, looking at the income taxes, 32% on Q3, Just to remind you that we are benefiting, and that's why the net income is very similar to the adjusted net income. We are benefiting this year of 24.3 million euros of a one-off tax relief on goodwill. Positive. Page 14, net fees and personal costs. Management fees again reached the higher quarterly level. This is due to a very good product mix, the market trend, of course, and a contribution of placement fees that returned to their historical level after the problems, if you can say so, related to the pandemic. In terms of personal expenses, stable in terms of fixed component, variable increasing, mainly driven by the very high level of performance fees registered in the 9 months. Okay, page 15. I would like also to bring you a little bit on margins. So we wanted to show you some graph on the evolution of our margins to make some thought on it. As we said, the retail fees increase was driven by the positive product mix, of course, meaning more equity in the portfolios and supportive financial markets. We launched this year, in the last couple of years, a lot of these products with an increasing equity component inside. These products were target date and or PAC, as I mentioned before. Institutional margin mainly increasing because of the wrap component. As we said before, the wrap component often comes from the retail. And as I said also before, in 2019 and 2020, the decline in fees was largely due to an increase of the class one mandates, diluting the average total number for us. And we were also impacted by the 2020 market downturn on the more juicy asset classes. After Q1 2020, in fact, we restarted performing very well, thanks also to a well-diversified AUM base as we have. And looking at the average overall margin today, we are seeing that we are picking up, and I hope that this trend will continue. Even though, considering the level of interest rate, we cannot think at getting back 5 years ago. Page 16, consolidated net financial position. We continue to generate an incredible amount of cash. The company, as you know, is consistent in generating cash year per year. This is providing to us a full optionality in terms of return to our shareholders. And as we did this year, and when we can, we are not jealous to keep the cash on our current negative current accounts. We prefer to increase the shareholder remunerations, and or we want to expand our and to develop our business, keeping our flexibility for possible extraordinary transactions. So the idea is to mix in the two. Page 17, looking at the remuneration of our shareholders, in any case, given our capability to generate cash consistently and also to leverage on the transaction, the extraordinary transaction of the past and the efficiency that, let's say, is in our DNA, we have been able to provide in the last year a very significant yield to our shareholders, and this year we'll be able to do also better, mixing, as I said at the beginning, the dividend, ordinary dividend and the buyback, where the idea is to propose to the AGM the cancellation of the shares coming from the buyback. We launched this buyback beginning of October, 60 million. It will take a few months to complete the buyback. Of course, we are communicating to the market the acquisition of shares every week. Page 19, some closing remarks before your questions. Q3 is confirming our capability to grow across the different channels we have and leveraging on our large distribution network. Flows in Q4 will be further boosted thanks to institutional mandates already awarded, mainly on insurance solutions and treasury finance for corporates. The markets, as we said during the presentation, are supporting our margin improvement also combined with a product offering that is going more towards risky asset classes. This is providing a strong top line combined again with our efficiency and operating leverage capabilities. Will this end up with strong cash flow generations for our shareholders? Liquidity, in fact, is enabling double-digit return in 2021 to our shareholders, combining ordinary dividend and buyback programs. Looking at M&A, we know that the scenario is changing continuously, almost every day, so it's very difficult to predict what will happen. What I can observe, what I can say, is that Anima is a unique company in the Italian asset management market. We have a business model with a unique distribution reach, both on retail and institutional. We have been able to grow organically thanks to the well-diversified distribution reach that we built up during years. And then efficiency and operating leverage at the highest level in Europe, just remind, are granting consistently a strong cash generation and a sustainable business model. On top of that, we looking at sustainability. In October 2021, Anima Holding entered in the newly launched MIB ESG index, ranking in line with UN Global Compact, and this is made out of 40 Italian companies listed and based on ESG criteria. I thank you very much, and I leave you space for your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Ciao, Alessandro. Three questions. The first one is on margins. The great news of this quarter, I would say. These increase quarter on quarter. I think you explained pretty well what are drivers, Zalogo, more equity funds, wrappers, target dates. My question is, should we expect a bit of increasing margins also for the fourth quarter, or you think we saw pretty much most of it in the third quarter? And linked to that, looking back at the chart where you are explaining the B2B, B2B2C, and B2C kind of distribution, I would presume that what is growing the most today is the B2B2C, i.e. Delegati Gestione and this kind of solutions. And in my mind, those solutions should have, in theory, lower margins for you guys compared to what you distribute via strategic partners. So, again, it is even more astonishing to me to see this development in margins when, in theory, what should grow the most should be the B2B2C category. So can you elaborate a bit on this? The second question is again on margins, but more related to the billion plus of institutional mandates that you are mentioning in the press release today that will come in the fourth quarter. Is that ticket at a similar margin you have on your institutional business, i.e. 10.7 basis points, or a little bit more or a little bit less? And the third and final is more strategic. We read this morning that Banco is going to present a plan pretty much focused on the buyback of minorities on the bancassurance JVs. We know that you are already the preferred partner for them for the underlying assets of unit-linked, and but also in class one insurance. So is there any upside you might have from a new plan of Banco, whatever could be the comment you can make today, from this focus on bank assurance? And last, but still on strategic stuff, is the offer you made to Montepaschi of renegotiating the agreement still on the table, or it is something not anymore under discussion for the time being? Thank you.
Grazie Gianluca, but you did more than three questions.
Sorry.
Okay, no problem. Q4 margins, well, I think that, yeah, we might expect potentially a slight increase also in Q4. Well, the trend is continuing. As I said during the presentation, we cannot expect to continue to grow indefinitely in terms of margins. We are recovering a little bit an excessive downturn on margins that we suffered in the last in the last couple of years because of the reasons I explained before. Then on the average margin, we have also taken into consideration that the large mandate on class one products, insurance products, may swing a little bit this margin, because if these assets grow a lot, may dilute the margins and vice versa. So we have also taken into this consideration this element. Looking at B2B2C, this year, and this is one of the effects also on the margin, we grew, of course, on B2B2C, but the good news was positive results on retail. If you look at the results last year we did on a full year basis minus 2.2 billion on the retail side. Now we turn positive on the retail. So this is affecting, of course, the margins and the overall growth. On the B2B2C, of course, we are continuing to grow a lot because we reached 2.2 billion in the first 9 months. And this is driven by insurance, but not only, also other advisory mandates we have, advisory meaning sub-management mandates we have with our clients, and the mandates with pension funds, for instance, and Casse. So is and we also did quite important results on the fund user side, so meaning other asset managers buying our funds. So this is a world very, very much mixed in terms of assets and also in terms of profitability. And this brings us to the mandates margins. The new mandates that we were awarded will enter that we start to manage in this period are on average, I would say, a little bit better than the average profitability we have on the institutional side. Because, just to give you more color on these margins, you have typical mandates, pension funds, etc., where you are very much in line with the average profitability on the institutional we have. But then we have also insurance assets where the profitability may be far more close to the retail profitability. Point four, the JV of BAMI on insurance, bank assurance. Well, BAMI today is our first shareholder, but is also our first contributor in terms of assets and also in terms of growth. Because with BAMI we are doing very well. I think that they will for sure try to revamp at best and to push a lot on the JV on the insurance. But I think that they will push a lot also on the asset management side. Given that we are well balanced on both, thanks to the agreement signed in 2017, this is an opportunity, a big opportunity for us. So we are happy to see that the JVs on the insurance will be fully revamped, but we are also sure that also Anima will be part of the industrial plan of the bank. Finally, MPS. MPS, well, the deal is on the table. Well, the idea of the deal is for sure on the table in the sense that we are willing to help the bank as we can. And we have an important partnership, as you know, and we will happy to try to find solutions in order to for them to have something in terms of course, always money, and for us in terms of agreements and future. So I think that we have, there is room to discuss, and we talk to them on a regular basis. Let's see what will be the requirement and the needs of the bank. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Two quick questions for me. The first one is on the flows trend. Can you elaborate on the net inflows progression of the BAMI and Monte Paschi networks, and what was the number in Q3 and the first 9 months of the year for the two strategic partners? And the second one is on Monte Paschi still. So can you elaborate on your strategy on the distribution agreement after the termination of negotiation between UniCredit and the Italian government? And generally speaking, on your capital allocation strategy after the strong free cash flow generation of Q3. Thank you.
Thank you, Luigi. Well, BAMI and PS flows. BAMI is doing very well, as I said. They are our stronger contributor on the retail. They consistently performed very well since March. And so we are very happy. And I cannot tell you, we don't provide the number, but very happy and very well. Monte dei Paschi, as we said more than once, they turned flat positive since April, and they continue to do so. So we have, they are doing very well, less in absolute terms if compared to BAMI, but absolutely positive and with a strong push. And so I have to say that we are very happy as well this year for the relationship and for the results with them. We saw some, if you want, some little bit of bumpy moments beginning of September, also because of the banks being on newspaper every day. But then the banks got back to a production, to a steady production day by day. They're an incredible network. They're very good, actually. Looking at the strategy with Monte dei Paschi, the strategy, as I said, is we want to help our partner, and in exchange for that, we want to continue to grow with them. So we'll see if there is room to find solutions like we were discussing before the summer. Let's see, because of course they are thinking what to do in the next few months. When they will have their plan, we'll see if there's room to discuss. In terms of capital allocation, well, we have today we have on current accounts of Anima Holding more than 400 million euros. We are executing our buyback, and we will reimburse part of the of our banking debt, as we said we communicated to the market 1 month ago. Then we will, but also, let's say, paying dividend, doing buyback, and paying back part of the debt, we will continue to have strong flexibility in terms of cash. Therefore, we will see how the market moving. So, if we have opportunity in the market, discussions with Monte dei Paschi, maybe other opportunities, and if we will not have any opportunity, as always, we will look at increasing the yield for our shareholders.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you. I've got two questions. The first one is a clarification on net recurring fee. If you can share the amount of placement fee within this level of recurring fee in Q3. And the second question is if you got already a stance about the new indication indicated in the budget law about a longer terms for amortization of the revaluation of the intangibles is a measure that which you taken a benefit in the past month. So if you plan a review of what you have accrued your net profit in the first half of this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Filippo. Well, first question, net recurring fees, replacement fees. Let's say that in Q3, we got back to our normal, if you want, path, our normal trend. Normal meaning 2019. But if you look at the 9 months, we are still below the numbers of before pandemic. So I think that this year we got back to a significant number for the full year, but still with some room to pick up if compared to 2019. Looking for what concerns the goodwill. Well, the goodwill, looking at the say at the and the at the law that they should be still approved anyway, apparently we are not involved in this new feature of the law, so we confirm the accounting that we are exposing in the 9 months. Anyway, we have to wait for the final draw of the law, the final approval of this law, and we will see how is the feature of the final version to better assess. So there is a bit of an uncertainty because we don't know how will be the final version of the law. As of today, we confirm that the accounting we are providing is correct.
Many thanks.
The next question is from Angeliki Bairaktari of Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. First of all, just to get back on the margin, especially the retail, I do understand all the explanations you provided, but I just wanted to double check if you can confirm that there weren't any one-off elements or something that could be, I don't know, seasonal or one-off that impacted the margin, which if I just look at the retail margin, that increased by 1.7 basis points Q&Q, so that's quite a big increase, one of the highest I've ever seen quarter-on-quarter for an asset manager. Second question, could you give us some guidance for costs for the full year 2021 and also the outlook for 2022, if possible? And And last question on your dividend. As this year your earnings are going to be quite strong thanks to performance fees and also the tax credit that you had the previous quarter. So the dividend per share in absolute terms should see, at least, you know, in my estimates, a big increase. Are you at all concerned about this dropping over the coming years? Thank you.
I didn't get the second question, sorry.
The second question was on costs. If you can give us the guidance for costs for full year 2021, considering that costs were up 9% in the 9 months, and also an indication for 2022 relative to 2021. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Yeah. In terms of retail margins, no, there are no one-off elements. The two main elements are the market performance, because last year in 2020 we had a drop in the second part of March, and this drop affected the most juicy asset classes, and last year we had a year with an approach also in terms of investments far more conservative compared to 2021 by the clients, also institutional. If you look at the and then we have to take into consideration, as I was saying, the placement fees are not a huge amount. I always said that on a full year basis placement fees are between 10-16 million euros, depending from the year. This in Q3, we got back to level of 2019. Therefore, some shift on some 0.5, 0.7, I don't know, some small amount on basis points could be explained also, if compared to last year, by placement fees. That is not a one-off anyway. It's part of our recurring business. In terms of cost, I think that the large part of the growth of this year is explained by a pickup on variable compensation that is mainly linked to the top historic performance on performance fees. This year, 9 months for 2021, we are registering more than doubling the number of last year that was already a record year. So, in terms of guidance, excluding performance fees, variable in general, I think that the cost will continue to grow. Probably we are in a low single digit growth. We continue this year and also next year, I think, because we are continue to invest. We are growing, but we have also to invest. Moreover, in asset, for instance, in asset classes like the alternatives, and so we expect, and I expect, a growth of a low single digit for cost in general. Without considering variable compensation that depends very much on the performance of the company and of performance fees. Looking at the dividend, you're right. If we'll, the dividend this year will be far higher than the one of last year. Because of results, we decided to, since the listing, to have a guidance in terms of dividend, for ordinary dividend, of 50% of our reported consolidated net income. So this may bring some volatility in terms of during years, depending on the performance of the company. We have been able, in any way, during these years, to keep always and to provide always a very interesting yield to our shareholders. Sometimes also integrating the, if necessary, or if we had available cash, integrating the dividend through buybacks, like we are doing this year and we did also 2 years ago and before.
Thank you you very much. Just to confirm, the 60 million buyback that you have announced, that's on top of the 50% ordinary dividend on earnings, right?
I confirm.
Thank you very much.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Roberta De Luca of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, Alessandro. Congratulations for the result. I just have a quick question. Can you give us a sense on the monthly contribution from your PSC, from the Piani di Accumulo? Obviously, as you said, it's a recurring part of your inflows by now. And as it's growing, it would be interesting to understand what the recurring portion of whatever you have already sold is.
Hi, Roberta. Yeah, is the contribution, the monthly contribution is a little bit less than 100 million euros gross inflows per month. So every month the accumulation plan provides almost 100 million euros. 1.5 years ago we were at 80 million euros, so we are increasing this number. And I think it's important because we are combining a positive for Anima with a positive for the client.
Perfect, thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini of Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got only one residual question. This is about your net inflow guidance, which is very, very strong for the end of the current year. So Q4 at least it seems in line with Q3 or even better. And I was wondering if you can provide us with some at least qualitative indications on what are your expectations for the first part of next year, and what are your strategies on net inflows for next year? Thank you very much.
Ciao Elena. Well, the strategy for next year is to raise money as much as possible. No, so, sorry for the joke. Q4 very strong, yeah, because we, as I said, we have institutional mandates awarded. We worked on that, of course, in the previous months, and are coming to a result in the fourth quarter. So very happy and strong result. Guidance for next year, not yet, because we are discussing with all our partners, first of all, in order to assess their idea. Just to give, in 2 days we'll see the business plan of Banco BPM, for instance, that is, of course, as I mentioned before, a very important contributor for us. But also all our partners, we have typically we talk to them and we make a budget with them in the last month of the year. And so today is too early to assess what could be our potential on the retail next year. On the institutional, again, we are making our thought in these days, in these months, in order to try to assess what could be the potential for next year. So the answer, sorry, but is we don't have a guidance yet for next year.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Melzi-Deril, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so I thank you all very much for attending our conference call, and the next meeting will be beginning of next year. Thank you very much to all of you.